Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I've not picked up a cigarette since I confessed. weeks ago that I was craving them. I'm not a cigarette smoker, but listen, if you smoke cigarettes, I understand and I can relate, and there is no judgment here.
Well, I am proud of you.
Thank you. Marlboro Lights, if you are listening.
I'm not ringing the bell. I'm not ringing the bell for that. Listen, the Surgeon General says don't do it.
He does. He says don't do it.
It could be a she.
Can you believe that back, I think it was in the 60s, that they used to say it was good for you?
Well, listen, remember a couple months ago I was talking about Matthew Perry's biography, the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was a baby, they gave him like opioids for colic.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why did we give babies opioids?
Well, you know, I guess we just didn't know what we didn't know.
Well, when you know better, you do better.
That's right.
That's what they say.
Thank you, Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
And
you know
Maya Angelou.
If you have a vice, listen, everybody has vices. It could be chocolate. It could be French fries. Could be Diet Coke. You know?
Could be donuts.
Sometimes you just need your vice.
Sometimes you just need a cigarette.
Well, no, that's not what I said. Maybe you do, but I don't. I just can't fathom that. Okay, I'm going to tell you my good day because I need to move on from the cigarette.
Okay.
Listen,
it does make you a little nervous.
It does. It makes me nervous. It makes me a little sweaty.
Makes
me a little sweaty. Makes me wonder.
You need some of that. What was that stuff you used?
Panoxyl.
Yeah, Panoxyl.
Some Panoxyl.
Okay.
Listen, my mom is an incredible cook.
She is. And she does not smoke cigarettes.
No. Oh, heavens no. She would not. No. She would not.
Actually,
like this.
She's going to be like Leanne Miller.
She's going to give you a nice little mom talk. Okay, listen, my
love
mom
you,
is
Frenchie.
Such a great cook.
She's so great.
And my mom, I love this tradition that she started when we had little kids. And, you know, my wife and I both work full time. We would pick a night a week to go over to her house for dinner.
It's Wednesday nights.
It's Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
It might change next school year. With the beginning of every year, we pick a night.
Yeah, that's awesome. It used
sometimes
to be Monday
Mondays.
Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's Wednesdays. So through the summer, she sometimes will be like, hey, do you guys want to come over for dinner? So we recently went over to her house for dinner, and it's 95% of the time, it is just the five of us with my mom.
I love that.
And when we walked in, she had the table set and she was in the shower and she had two extra seats at the table. And we were like, who's coming? Who's coming?
Oh,
she's
coming
out. So my mom.
That makes it exciting too.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. My mom came out of the shower and we were like, who's coming? And she invited some of her friends from church over. Their names are Bill and Daryl. And they are awesome people. He is a retired pastor and she's a retired counselor, and they're people, you know, we talk about this all the time here. They are people that Mallory and I have said to my mom for probably 2 or 3 years, you should invite them over more when we're over. We'd love to spend time with them. And she did it.
Yeah.
And we sat.
Your mom's good at remembering things like that.
She is.
Like if you say something, like she remembers it. And then like 3 months later, she's like bringing you like these frosted cookies that you mentioned
like,
to her
what?
Like 3 months ago. And you're like,
last summer, my mom bought me wind chimes because I had mentioned I wanted wind chimes. Mm-hmm. So she remembers stuff like that.
I love my wind chimes.
But it was such a nice visit. You know, like old-fashioned visiting where you just sit around and you chit-chat.
Yes, I love it.
And you visit.
You speak my language.
Like they were telling us places where they had a daughter that lived in Japan and they went and visited her. And then we found out we were all readers and they were sharing authors that they like.
Mm-hmm.
She likes historical fiction. So we were talking about The Women, the book that you liked.
Yes.
The Women. And we were just talking about books and they were so sweet to our kids. And, you know, it was These Are Good Days. It was the epitome of what we talk about because they're people that we know we love that we just carved out. Well, really, my mom. took the time to invite them over and make a supper and just visit.
What'd you have
and
for listen, supper?
Oh my goodness. We had such good food. We had baked chicken. She made white meat and dark meat.
I love baked
chicken.
So
I had a little bit of both. It had like breadcrumbs on it.
Yeah, do that.
She had green bean, fresh green beans with bacon in it. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Help
and
me. Help me.
I know,
me.
Right? And then, you know what? She had other things too. She does lots of sides.
Yeah, she does.
But you know what she had for dessert that what? You... I told you, you need to do this recipe.
And
you
I did it. I did it on
it
TV.
Is the best.
It is the best.
Shortcake recipe. It's so delicious. She had strawberry shortcake. And listen to this. Did you know they have new ice cream? I think Blue Bunny brand makes it. That is soft serve texture ice cream. It's not hard. And so she got soft serve ice cream.
Well, that's what Mud Valley is. Mud Valley is Mud Valley is soft serve hardened.
It is so
That's why
good.
It's so delicious.
It is so
delicious.
Good.
Yes.
So, best ever strawberry shortcake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
My good day. This happened. Listen, this is how I know these are good days, good day, when I'm thinking about it for weeks.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking about this day. It's been well over a month ago. I was in Hilton Head with my childhood girlfriends, and my friend Darla. My friend Darla from college has her and her husband Tebby, shout out Darla and Tebby, have a house in Hilton Head, and they have a pool, a beautiful pool with salt, you know, the salt water instead of chlorine. You know, there are chlorines out there that will turn these highlights green. That happened to me one year. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember.
It turned as green as a Grinch.
Yeah.
And the salt water pools do not do that. So I was there with my girlfriends. We went to the beach every day. It was hot. It was like it was the beach days that were like not a cloud in the sky, just really hot. And sometimes in Hilton Head, the water is not like, you don't want to go to the water to cool off because it really feels like bathwater. It's really warm. So my friend Darla's like, why don't you guys, you know, we're not going to really be around that much in the afternoon, but why don't you guys come over to the pool and just have like a pool day? So the last day that we were together, we packed up fruity drinks in our sippies, and we, you know, we had the big, you know, Yeti sippies. Mm-hmm. We packed like, special drinks and went to her pool. And Matt, I got in that pool at noon, and I did not get out of that pool until 5.
Wow.
I stayed in the water. Well, except for to go to the bathroom. I stayed in that water the whole time. It was so refreshing. It was so fun. We laughed so hard. We, during the week, we take time, to pray over each other. Like we update each other on each other's lives and our kids. And then we take time to pray over each other. And so they prayed over me while we were in the pool. And it was just something that I've thought about so many times since then. Like this was a really good day.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was extraordinary because being in a pool on the water, like staring
with
out
your
to the water,
friends of 40
yes,
years
is extraordinary.
Or 50 years.
Is extraordinary.
Yeah,
like
that's
was,
an extraordinary
it, it
day
was
for sure.
An incredible day. So that was my good day, Matt.
That's awesome. Hey, well, today we want to talk about regrets and reframing our regrets. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a detriment that we bring on ourselves when we let our regrets define us, or we let our regrets bring shame to our lives. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Regrets. I was reading all about this before we recorded, and regrets are not the same thing as shame. You know, I think sometimes when we think of regrets, we think that there has to be shame attached to it. And
right.
That shame is regret. They right. are not the same
or
thing.
Or like it's this extended feeling bad.
Right.
Like this just extended, like my whole life, my biggest regret is, or
right.
I have this regret. Webster's dictionary defines regret as, actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, it is. Well, it says dictionary. Let's see if it's Webster's. It is the New Oxford American Dictionary. It says that regret is to feel sad, repentant, or disappointed. Something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love to remind myself that regret is a temporary word.
That's
a
good word.
And it's a feeling. Like, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel regret or remorse over something.
Right.
It's okay to feel like I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And I think instead of feeling shame, you can feel redeemed from it if you go back to the person and say, you know, I really shouldn't have said that. I really shouldn't have handled it that way. And I'm really sorry. I really regret that I handled that situation that way.
Right.
And then you lift the feeling of it lingering, because mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think regret seems permanent, and mm-hmm. And if we look up the definition, regret isn't permanent.
When I like in that definition where it talks about how regret is things that were done, but also things that have not been done, or right. a missed opportunity.
Or a loss. Yes.
And I think that's really interesting mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I think about the idea of regret, for me, I often think of regretting things that I have done and wishing I yeah, would not have
right,
done
them. Right, right, right.
And so one thing, this is such a funny, I mean, it's not really funny example, but as I've gotten older, one of the things that I've wondered, I'm going to say I don't regret this, but one of the things that I've wondered is I went to a pretty expensive private Christian college, you know, and it... what it meant for me was I had some school debt that mm-hmm, I have mm-hmm. had paid off for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, this now granted the state of college has changed quite a bit right, in the last right. 20 years. Right. The cost of college has changed right. a lot in the last 20 years, but I've looked at that and I've wondered, was all of that debt worth it? You know, mm-hmm. to have the small mm-hmm. college experience and to live on campus and to do those kind of things, was it really worth it? And so when I look at that, I can trace back some of the things that happened in my life mm. to that. And mm-hmm. so I can trace back, it gave me opportunities right. to travel the country.
Right.
It gave me an opportunity to live. I lived in Sydney, Australia for 6 months.
Which was so fun.
Which was awesome. And that was a connection through my college.
Side note, are there really kangaroos everywhere there in the country, like out in the country? Or is it kind of like seeing a white-tailed deer here?
We could actually do an Australia episode. That would be kind of fun. There aren't kangaroos everywhere.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't say. It's not as common as a white-tailed deer in Ohio. It's not as common as that.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I, you know, when I think about that, I think of how it would have changed the trajectory of
right.
my life.
Exactly.
You know, and I think often when we think about decisions, you know, I wish, for example, I've heard of people that have been through a divorce that are like, I should have never married him or her.
Right.
Well,
right.
guess what? They produce their children that right, they love right, so right, much right, with that person.
Right, right.
So you can't regret that 100% right, because right. it lined up so many other things in your life.
Right.
And so I think regrets can be a tricky thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, is that called like the butterfly effect or something, where you change one thing and it changes everything else.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. I think that's where regrets get tricky for me is, you know, when we wish we would change things in the past, I think it just can take us into dangerous territory.
Right. I also think part of us talking about this is thinking about the idea of reframing mm-hmm. regret, like looking at it differently. And what I will say is there are some things in my life that I would have handled in a different way if I knew then what I know now. Definitely there are things I would change, but I can't say that I regret them because every one of those things have led me to where I am.
Exactly.
So the one thing I can say that I look back on, and if you're a parent that works full time that has smaller kids or kids at home, is I do regret working so much.
Yeah.
I do regret being driven, you know, really allowing our businesses to drive us instead of us drive them.
Yeah.
And yeah. so it, you know, we now in, I say that in one breath. And then the next breath, I say our kids both have a great work ethic.
Right.
They both know what $20 means and mm-hmm. feels like mm-hmm. and what you have to work for in order to get $20. If you work at a restaurant, you know, they definitely know how to wrap silverware in a paper napkin. Like they, you know, they learned a lot of things and experienced a lot of things that they wouldn't have if we wouldn't have right. lived that life. But I do wish that I would have carved out more I don't want to say fun, but I wish I would have carved out a little more. Now thank God our lives changed right. when the boys were so young and we got out of those businesses and we did create home and staying at home and having dinner around the table. But when we were running so hard and not at home often, you know, it was hard to get around the table for dinner. Everything, you know, I'd bring leftovers from the restaurants and styrofoam containers. I don't like thinking about those,
right.
Those things, but we were doing what we felt like we had to do in order to, you know, have the life that we had. So looking back now, I wouldn't have been, I guess I wouldn't have just ran so hard and been gone from home so much when the kids were really little.
But I think the beauty in that is you shifted. Yeah. You know, you yeah. didn't, yeah. you yeah. don't it's wallow true. In the regret.
No, I don't.
You make what I've observed from you, because we became friends when you were kind of in the middle of that shift. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I truly never was friends with you when you were running that hard. You know, you weren't running a restaurant when I was friends with you. You were still running just the B&B. So that there was a level of work in that, but it wasn't to the level of running restaurants and the B&B and all the other things you guys did. And so I think the beauty of that is you saw it and you did something about it.
Right.
You know, I think where regrets hold us hostage is when we don't make a change. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through, I was reading some articles about this. And one of the things in regards to regrets and not letting it define you or bring shame to you is learning from your mistakes, that your regrets, and this is what I heard when you were just talking, is your regrets can help you shape your value system. So your regrets, when you look at a regret, it helps you shape your values and what you really think is important. Because for you, in the story of your businesses and your family, is you were running so hard that your the balance of time between work and your family was out of whack.
Right. 100%.
And so it really helped you say, hey, if we're going to value our family, what are ways that we can scale back our businesses or scale back our work so that we can have meals around the table, so that we can go on trips around holidays.
You know, and those shifts are scary because when you've done something for a while, and you feel like, well, what am I supposed to do if this ends? It that can feel scary.
100%.
But I also think it in my mind, it's scarier to stay in the same place and your mental health suffer,
right?
Your emotional health suffer, your interpersonal relationships with your family, you're behind the door of your home, it's suffering because you're just running too hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is the whole less is more, like we talked about recently, just, you know, being comfortable with saying, you know, we're going to scale back and we're going to not have as big a property and not have as big a house. And some of those changes, listen, I want to tell you something that can happen, especially if you start praying, you know, praying a prayer of God to help you and guide you. He can start helping you in ways that you did not foresee. Like, some of those changes were forced upon us that we wouldn't have chose for ourselves. Like we wouldn't have chose the way that we got out of business and separated from business with my family. But in the end, now all these years later, you know, like 16 years later, I'm just so glad that we aren't in that life anymore. And especially shout out to restaurants that really made it through that COVID era and stayed open and did all kinds of shifting and rearranging how they did food and how they served. Is it's really incredible, actually.
Yeah. Here's another point in regards to regret is regret to avoid regrets eating our lunch. You have got to learn how to forgive yourself for the past. You know, we're all about learning from our mistakes, but if you're constantly holding on to, I missed out on this time with my boys, man, I really did go in a lot of debt for college. What could I have done with that money?
Right.
You have got to forgive yourself, because when you don't forgive yourself for regrets, you are held hostage by your own mind.
Well, you're recycling. You're actually kind of just recycling something that is taking energy from you instead of putting energy in you. Like it's taxing on your mind to keep recirculating that. Like it just pulls the energy right out of you, where you're like, if I just wouldn't have done that, if I just wouldn't have done that. And if you start reframing it and you say, you know what, by doing that, I am where I am.
Absolutely.
And I met this person who met that person who connected mm-hmm. me to this person. You know, I go back to those days and I think about all the different connections I yeah. have with different people. In fact, recently somebody DM'd me on Instagram and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I've been following you here on Instagram for a while and I was over at my mom's house and, something brought up your name," and she's and her mom said, "Who?" And she got out these pictures of her mom years ago who had traveled to the bed and breakfast and stayed at the B&B with her friends from elementary school. Aww. And showed me these pictures. Well, her mom came several years in a row and I said, "Sally, that's Sally. I totally remember her mother."
That's
because
amazing.
Her mother is a very memorable, sweet, kind, classy, such a classy woman. And she's like, "I cannot believe you remembered her name." And mm-hmm. I'm like, "Well, your mom is one of those people you don't forget."
That's right.
And there are so many things like that mm-hmm. that speak the opposite of regret, that speak this experience built a lot of love and life into our family.
Totally.
Were there things that I regret that I would do differently that I'm sad about? Yes. But I think we can live, it can be an and.
Like, yes,
we
100%.
Can live with the sadness and the regret and say, "How can I learn from this? How can I reframe it? How can I not sit in it? How can I not wallow in it? How can I not be a victim? How can I let the word regret not make me a victim?"
Well, and I think part of reframing our regret is saying, "This is a part of our story." I think what shame does is shame says, "I want to hide it. I want to put this in the darkness. I want to omit this from my story." But when we reframe our regret, we're saying, "Hey, this is part of our story. This did make me who I am today." You know, I have friends that have parents that were alcoholics. That's a really, can be a very shameful thing. But you know what? It also created beautiful humans out of that environment. You know, when you think about the home you were raised in, or you think about choices that you made in your teenage years, what I would guess is some of those things, when we reframe those things and we make them a part of our story and we say, "Hey, I am who I am because I went through this." We have a great friend, a lady that goes to our church. Her name is actually Kim Friend, who is very open about her struggles with alcohol. And she's made videos of it. She's talked about it at church. And when you say, "Hey, this is a part of my story," not only are you reframing it for yourself,
you
are also reframing it and paving the way for other mm-hmm. people to mm-hmm. find freedom mm-hmm. in the choices that mm-hmm. they've made or mm-hmm. things that they may do in the future. Mm-hmm. And so I think the temptation is to take our regrets and hide them and put them in the darkness. But when we take our regrets and we say, "Hey, this is a part of my story. This is what I learned from it," we're giving courage to other people and we're paving mm-hmm. a way that says, "Hey, I don't have to be ashamed of this. And good things can come out of maybe some choices I made that weren't so great."
Right.
And so I think the temptation to hide, we have to overcome that to say, "Hey, this is who I am. You know, some of us smoked cigarettes. This is who I am. Listen, and this is a part of my story.
I don't regret and that cigarette."
That did not make the list of regrets. Okay, here's my last thing. In regards to our regrets, we need to have our regrets help us create a vision for the future and how different our future can look. So here's what that looks like. If I were to take your example of your work ethic with your kids and that story that you shared with us, how it shapes your vision for the future is the way that you spend time with your kids now. Mm-hmm. And I already know, cause we talk about this offline sometimes. Oh, offline. That's funny. We talk about this offline, not on the podcast, like what kind of grandmother you're going to be, mm-hmm. what your home is going to be like mm-hmm. when your grandkids come, or even when your kids come home, mm-hmm. how do you prioritize time with them? You know, your kids, when your kids come home now, they are not an afterthought and you carve out time for them make time for them.
Right, I do.
You make sure that there's food around the table and that everyone sits down and looks in each other's eyes. Mm-hmm. And that was born out of some of those days where you didn't do that.
It's true. I've allowed it to teach me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so our regrets, or the things that we could say are regrets, we can take them and help them create a future for us That is much brighter and much better.
I also think, Matt, that sometimes we know that we're living in a space where we're like, I know this isn't where I want to be. Mm. Like, I'll give an example. If you're living in a space where you are not happy in your job and you're miserable in your job and you find yourself talking negatively about your job, and this could actually be this could be the relationship with your spouse too. Mm-hmm. When you are actively doing that, like over and over and over again, what you're doing is an exercise of a future regret. Mm-hmm. Of looking back and saying, I really wish I wouldn't have done that at that last job. Yeah. I really wish I would have held my tongue and just gotten a different job. And I think the way that you can stop it is just basically say, if I was to list things I didn't like that are happening in my life, let's say I don't love, one of the things on the list is I'm miserable at my job. The other thing is I argue with my spouse all the time. If I list all those things, you have to make part of the list if you don't want it to be that way anymore and you don't want to look back with that regret. You have to follow it up with, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to change it?
Yeah.
Because you will keep doing it.
Yeah.
If you don't do something to stop doing it.
That's right.
And that could be counseling, you know. I know, we say it all the time. Hey, which, by the way, our friend Kat,
yes,
just started taking clients at a private practice. She works in education, but she's going to start taking clients. You know, I don't want to call it a side hustle because it's really not a side hustle for her. It's really part of her life, but she's going to start taking clients now. So if you need a name of a good counselor, we have several that we can give you, but Kat is one of them. Such a great, wise voice. But, you know, whether it's getting in front of a counselor or whether it's going to your boss and saying, hey, these are some things that are happening here. I just had a friend recently text me and say, hey, I need you to pray for me today because I'm meeting with our CEO and I have some difficult things to say.
Yeah.
And that's how you reframe active. If you're living in what could be a future regret,
yeah,
that's
right.
How you reframe it. You say, I need to go do the brave thing and share some things that I don't like going on that are going on at work. And if those things don't change, then I need to leave that environment. And that's scary, but it's brave and it's better than looking back and saying, I was in that job complaining for a year. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help you. It doesn't make you into the person that you wish and hope to be.
Absolutely. That's a good word. I love the idea of when we're living in the middle of a situation that we know could be a future regret, having the courage to make a change mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. instead of mm-hmm. just talking mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, it's that time. Let's talk about food.
Okay. Let's talk about food.
Let's talk about food.
We still just haven't got. We're going to get Charlie to do a little let's talk about food.
I know.
Jingle.
We need we to. Are. We really need
we
to.
We really need to. Okay, listen. I'm going to talk about chicken. So at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, they carry Gerber's Poultry, which is a local chicken processing, I guess you would call it a chicken processing plant. I mean, it's a chicken.
Yeah, that's where they. They it's harvest
where they, it's
chicken.
Where they butcher the chickens. Yeah, I guess. And they have the most delicious chicken. And here's what I want to say. On the grill, I do love a good boneless thigh. Good
okay.
boneless thigh, marinated on the grill,
yeah.
sticky. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like.
Okay.
Okay. But when it comes to pan-fried chicken, like okay. I'm gonna dredge it in some beautiful breading mix, and I'm gonna fry it golden and then bake it in the oven. I want the bone in, man.
I know you do.
I like the bone in. I like me some drumsticks. I like me some thighs with the bone in. I'm not really gonna do the bone in breast for a pan fried. I really like the thigh and the leg better. I just think it's
yeah,
just
I
more
love
tender.
The thighs.
Oh, they that just have. They just have a great. Not just selection, but sometimes you can go there and get this big honking bag. bag of drumsticks mm-hmm. on sale that, like, literally they will have people come from everywhere because yeah. they just put it on such deep sale that you can just go buy a whole big bag of drumsticks.
And... Well, and if you're not, it's a good idea to follow Walnut Creek Cheese and Market on Instagram because yes. often they post their sales.
Yes.
So you can see what's going on, yeah. what's going down yeah. there. It's shop at WCC is their Instagram handle. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the things that I love when they give videos of the store mm-hmm, and what they mm-hmm, have out mm-hmm, on display mm-hmm, right now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, look to the ad for sales and also check out their online store, because if you're not local to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, they have some great deals mm-hmm, that can mm-hmm, be shipped mm-hmm, right to your house mm-hmm. from their website. Yeah. And like I've said before, what I love too is they have a store locator. So they have retail partners all over the country. Teddy found it in Colorado once.
Yeah.
I found it in Dayton.
Yes.
I'm going to be on the lookout. I'm going to be on the lookout when I'm having my travels.
If it's at Disney.
It's not at Disney, but maybe someday. Maybe someday yeah. we'll get Walnut Creek. They could be in the American Pavilion at Epcot.
Yes.
For all American food.
Listen, I want to just say, we have had a longstanding relationship with them. I've worked with them since 2008. They are a wonderful family-owned and operated business. Mm-hmm. And they just... We love them. They yes. they also donate to one of our favorite nonprofits in the area, O'Huddle. You're yeah. on the board there. And they just are a generous company mm-hmm. and they have a wonderful products. So
absolutely.
Yeah, check them out.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about reframing our regrets. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.